Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. There are two types of people in the music world. The cranky old folks like me who say, "Remember when MTV actually played music videos?" And then the younger generation who wonder what the hell we're getting so worked up about. Actually, it's been so long since MTV played music videos that I should probably say generations, plural. Well, young people, prepare to experience real MTV on the 4th of July. MTV has announced that on Independence Day, it will revert to an all-music video format for that day only. They'll focus on current artists and videos, so sadly it won't be a walk down memory lane for those of us who were watching in the 80s. There won't be a countdown clock telling you when Michael Jackson's Thriller video will next appear. Sting won't be singing "I Want My MTV," and they probably won't kick off the day with this song. This song by The Buggles was the first video played on MTV back in 1981, and if you do want to stroll down memory lane with the folks from MTV, we've got just the book for you. We've also got a fun story about a huge online music camel trying to fit itself into the eye of a legal needle, and a live performance by one of the queens of Galician music. That's the music from the northwest corner of Spain. So all of that is coming up, but let's start with this new book. It's called VJ, The Unplugged Adventures of MTV's First Wave. It's a tale of sex and drugs and rock and roll told by the five original VJs, or video jockeys, from MTV. Two of them are joining me on Soundcheck today. Mark Goodman's here with me in the studio. Mark, welcome.
Hey, John.
And Nina Blackwood is joining us on the phone. Hi, Nina.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. I mentioned misadventures, and Mark, you get right into it. Chapter one of the book, hanging out with David Lee Roth, cocaine, prostitutes, the whole nine yards. I mean, at what point did you begin to worry about, you know, is this part of my job? Do I have sort of journalistic distance and objectivity here?
I felt that it was part of my job from the start, which is why I delved into it so heavily, because otherwise I would not have. It was, it was a research project.
Really?
Right, Nina? It was, you know what? I don't know if you've met Dave or not, but Dave is a very engaging guy and really smart. And he really, I think he gets a bad rap because he's egocentric. He thinks he's the funniest guy on the planet. That's all fine. Mm-hmm. But he was really engaging and really, he really got to me. Uh-huh. And we hit it off.
That chapter, sort of talking about David Lee Roth and Van Halen and the video jump ends with a final word from Nina saying, "I was actually more of a Sammy Hagar fan."
Nina, I laughed out loud when I read that. That was so funny.
I actually laughed about that because there's all these stories that all of a sudden, well, I actually like Sammy.
I get up and nothing gets me down. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest around. And I know, baby, just how.
Jump by Van Halen was certainly, that was one of the early kind of hit videos that made Well, I was going to say made MTV, but MTV really made these videos
popular. By the time Jump was 84,
yeah.
So we were well, you know, on the way by then.
MTV begins in 81. At what point, Nina, did you guys start considering yourselves either journalists or some sort of video version of DJs? I mean, how did you define what you did?
Well, when I went to MTV, that was what I was expecting, to be a disc jockey only on camera, you know, video
right.
jockey. I envisioned it to be like a really, really cool FM station only on TV. So all along, that was my expectation. I didn't go there like wanting to be like Miss TV star at all. I went after the job because I love music and I really thought that video music was going to catch on. Didn't know for sure if MTV was going to, but nobody did.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, you know, combining two of America's favorite pastimes, music and TV, would probably work.
And Mark, you know, same question to you.
I never categorized myself as a journalist.
Right.
I cover events. I did before MTV. I did interviews and things before MTV. And I don't know whether that's wrong or right. It's just not the way I thought of myself. I thought of myself as a passionate music fan. And this was part of not only my job in radio beforehand, but this as well, only on a grander scale.
We're speaking with two of the original MTV VJs, Mark Goodman here in the studio, Nina Blackwood with us on the line, along with Alan Hunter and Martha Quinn and the late J.J. Jackson. They were the original VJs. And one of the kind of surprises of this book called VJ, The Unplugged Adventures of MTV's First Wave, is this idea that you guys were all hired to fill a niche. Nina, what was your niche?
Well, you know, I didn't know when I was hired that I was being hired as
a
niche.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, the blonde.
Come on, Nina, come on. Come on. Video vixen, let's go.
That's not...
All right, so let me ask you an easier question, Nina.
Yeah.
What was Mark's niche?
Okay, Mark's niche, to me, I thought, and I'm glad that you're
A-hole.
Asking me, I think Mark is the epitome of a wonderful FM DJ, and I think he was an authority, he was the cool guy that knew the music, that did
Yeah, but what did Sue Steinberg, the executive producer in the beginning of MTV, what did Sue Steinberg
yeah,
think?
Well, okay, see, he's fishing, he's prodding me to say, the hunk.
All right, so the hunk and the vixen, it's
yeah,
like
a
superhero convention here.
Let it be known that we did not attach these tags to ourselves.
Yes, that's
now,
right.
At the time, had either of you seen a music video?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what was the first video, Nina, that you saw?
Oh, God.
That you remember?
I think Elena Lovitch,
yeah.
actually.
Was that Lucky Number, Nina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
That first Lena Lovitch record, Stateless, just had like one great song after another, among them Lucky Number. Mark
yeah.
Goodman, first video that you can remember seeing.
For me, it's Beatles stuff. You know, Strawberry Fields, I remember seeing around the late 60s
mm-hmm.
sometime, you know, early 70s.
So how would you have seen that? Because, the Beatles stuff was kind of different. But in the 70s, there were music videos, but they were purely promotional things. They weren't generally
right.
seen by the public.
Mm-hmm. A lot of British videos had to do with the fact that Brits were used to it, and that's what would go, in many cases, on Top of the Pops, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
That was a way for a band to make an appearance. In my case, also, I was the music director in Philadelphia for a radio station in Philadelphia, and that's how we used to get, that's how, the first time I saw Duran Duran, or heard them for that matter, was their video for Planet Earth, and then Girls on Film, of course.
We're speaking with Mark Goodman and Nina Blackwood. The new book is called VJ, The Unplugged Adventures of MTV's First Wave. They're with me on Soundcheck. At some point, both of you in the book recount tales of difficult interviews. Nina, I'll ask you about Frank Zappa in a moment. But Mark, David Bowie gave you grief in an interview, not because he didn't like you or anything, but for that very early sentiment that MTV only plays white people.
Right.
So
Bowie the Ambusher.
So what is the story, as you guys remember it, of how MTV began to play Michael Jackson and then more black music?
I have to say that J.J. Jackson was the guy who kind of alerted me to it. Now, you have to understand, J.J., he was a black guy, but he loved rock and roll. He was all about rock and roll and never, didn't talk at all about MTV being racist or anything for years. I don't think that they were racist. I don't think it was, they're black people, we're not going to play them. But the error in the logic happened when J.J. pointed out to me, we're playing Culture Club and Spandau Ballet and all of these white bands that are basically singing R&B music.
Right.
Why don't we play people who are black singing R&B music? The other side of that also is that the black acts and the record labels who had those black acts wanted in. They wanted a piece of the money pie.
So who made that call? Did you guys get to pick the videos you played? Or
No.
Okay, so there was like, you know,
it was a programming
body. Programming decision.
You know, it was a bunch of people who would meet weekly and decide which videos would be aired. Now, we all were, to some degree or other, vocal about what we thought we should be playing or shouldn't be playing, for example. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was never, wouldn't have even had the time, really, to attend these meetings. It was two separate worlds, production and the office.
So how does Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, how does that video finally break into MTV's rotation?
The funniest thing to me about this, and Nina, maybe you remember this, the funniest thing was we heard, okay, Columbia, Michael's on Epic, forced us, they pulled all their
And Columbia and Epic are both...
They're similar, they're related
they're divisions of CBS.
Exactly.
So just to be clear here, Columbia and Epic and all the related branches of CBS pulled their material from you.
Which
you
they were giving to us for free. They were giving us our 24/7 programming for free.
Right.
And they pulled all of it. And I know executives deny it. It never happened. Well, I remember having the meetings with our producers. They said, okay, here, this is Columbia product. And they looked up at the log. This is not there. We're not playing this. We're not playing this. We're not playing this. And it lasted like a week. And what wound up happening was, you know, we heard Eddie Van Halen's playing on this track on this new Michael Jackson record. Yeah, we'll play that one. Perfect. And what do they give us is the first video from that album is Billie Jean. Not Beat It.
Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, one of the groundbreaking early videos from the MTV days. We're speaking with Mark Goodman and Nina Blackwood, two of the original MTV VJs, both of them currently hosting programs on Sirius XM. And their stories and those of Alan Hunter and Martha Quinn and the late J.J. Jackson are in this new book called VJ, The Unplugged Adventures of MTV's First Wave. Nina, let me ask you about interviewing Frank Zappa, which you say was your worst moment in your whole career. What was that?
Yeah, as far as interviewing goes, definitely. Just to encapsulate it, it's just, he just talked down to me, he bullied me, made fun of me, and I wasn't prepared. It was bad. I think it was a bad combination. They should have put either Mark or JJ with Frank. I just didn't have the experience. I didn't know how to handle it, and he went for it. He saw that. So I could describe it easily as the bully on the playground picking on a girl, which, you know.
Nina, how much of this was like an old boys club, you know, even though they were young boys, I guess? I mean, was your experience and Martha's experience as women different from, you know, Mark and Alan and JJ?
I personally didn't ever feel that way. I'm sure.
Yeah. Wait a second. Let's just stop and check here. Who was invited back to John Mellencamp's room?
Oh, come on.
Who went in a ride Roger Glover's Mustang?
A little sour grapes here in the studio,
hey,
Mark.
Girls in rock and roll have it a lot better than guys.
Who was hanging out with the hookers and David Lee Roth?
Okay.
Yes, I didn't even get to that point. I didn't feel it was a boys' club as far as, like, the work went, that, you know, stuff was given to Mark or JJ or Alan because they were a guy. But, you know, of course, because the nature of rock and rollers are to try and pick up girls, no matter, you know, who the girls are.
Boy,
basically.
George really dug me, though.
Point of pride for Mark Goodman.
So,
score one for Mark.
Yeah, so, in that regard, it was just kind of more of the same. And I never, maybe because I was in bands and I was a musician myself, I never felt that type of, like, groupie girl thing. Mm-hmm, you know, I always felt that, you know, the guys were just guys in a band. It's like, yeah, well, you know, that's what they do.
Yeah. Speaking with Nina Blackwood and Mark Goodman, two of the original five MTV VJs. Their stories told in the new book called VJ, The Unplugged Adventures of MTV's First Wave. Now, a lot has been said over the years about how MTV hasn't played music, hasn't been music television for such a long time. If you guys had stayed with the network, if the five of you had continued on, Do you had gotten maybe to a kind of producer position, do you think you would have tried to steer MTV in a different direction, or did MTV go where it needed to go?
I don't think that whether the five of us stayed or didn't stay, MTV made a decision in terms of their future, and that was, we will not grow old with our audience. This is what our demo is. This is what we will do to super serve them, which is what the programming was. That was niche programming, so it wasn't broadcasting. It was narrow casting. Mm-hmm. Pittman came up with that.
Right.
And so they probably would have gone in the same direction, and maybe we would have been behind the scenes, or maybe we would have been in the news department, or more than likely we would have been out.
Right. Nina, do you watch MTV anymore?
No, not at all, actually. I don't like reality TV as a rule, unless it's like documentary, like National Geographic.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed that, they left the theme of music and went into the direction they did. I certainly wouldn't expect them to be showing videos 24/7 or keep the format the same. You have to change. But to go so extremely away from the basis of what the channel was, I don't like it. I'm sorry.
What about the form, the music video form? Is it still relevant? Do you still watch music videos?
Well, I will watch on the internet. I don't know how relevant it is to have it on television all the time. I certainly don't think 24/7 you could do that at all anymore. But I also, on the other hand, think that there could be specific shows that have, like, an interview with, God forbid, but Justin Bieber, and show his videos, and, you know, and work it into some sort of format without
it's a good
The internet, and so people can easily see the videos on the internet.
So the music video lives on. MTV lives on in a very different form. But the early days, well,
live on, too, book.
They were fun. VJ, The Unplugged Adventures of MTV's First Wave. Nina Blackwood and Mark Goodman, two of the five original VJs from MTV with me on Soundcheck today. And to the two of you, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much, John. Really appreciate it.
No. Another video on heavy rotation in the early days of MTV, Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Wanna Have Fun. Up next, why the internet radio giant Pandora is buying a tiny terrestrial radio station in South Dakota. Plus, a tiny desk concert from the Danish indie band Efterklang. But first, another Maxwell's moment. You remember the Hoboken club Maxwell's is closing its doors at the end of July. Well, here's our listener, Bill.
The thing I remember about Maxwell's had to do with the Replacements. We saw them at the Ritz, I think this was 1984, and it was one of the shows that where they just couldn't finish a song. They were ridiculously drunk. It was just a mess. And then a short time later, we saw them again at Maxwell's, and they were spectacular. When the Replacements are really on the money, they're on the money, and it was fabulous.
I said, hey, good looking. Now what you got cooking? So how about looking? Sum it up with me.
Hi, this is Miss Terry. I worked at Maxwell for many years during its prime while Steve Fallon was the owner. Oh, gonna cry. Hi, Steve. Oh, God. I miss everybody from there. I was really touched when I heard that it was going to close. My good friend Martha. Oh, we were in the Bruce Springsteen Glory Days video we did in the back room there. Patty Quinn. Onomatopoeia, Patty. It was just the greatest. So I guess I just wanted to send my love, Maxwell's. Maybe we should all get together there on that closing night. That would be great.
We went back inside, sat down, had a few.
You can leave your Maxwell's memory as a message on our voicemail. Again, that number is 866-939-1612. This is Soundcheck.